give and give beyond your tithe or whatever. We just said, here's the things that we want to do. And the Lord did some incredible stuff. The Lord helped us sell some property when people along Route 8 here have not been able to sell an acre. We've sold 3.5 acres at commercial value. That's incredible. That's incredible. And we get this. We turned around and bought a piece of property, not at commercial value.
Amen.
Okay. All right. Some of you are catching on to that. That is a miracle, because if you go along here and you see any of these for sale signs around the Walmart area, there's some properties that are for sale that are close to $500,000 for 2 acres. $500,000. And we purchased the property right out here where those beautiful Merry Christmas flags are for right around $50,000. And that was just under an acre. And we've been able to do that because of the grace of God and the vision and the purpose that Grace Fellowship Church has. My feeling has always been, as long as there is vision, as long as there are people who are praying and believing for this community to be changed and impacted by the power and the authority of God, He will continue to bless His work. And it is by no power of our own. If we were to tell you that when I became the pastor here in 2006, in the middle of my message, I actually had a moment, I don't want to label it as depression, but I got very concerned because I was looking out and everybody was sitting in their regular seats, and there was probably about 40 or 45 people in the sanctuary this size. And so what I did is I had everybody sit, 1, 2, 3, I had them all come up and sit in these first three rows. And I said, this is where we are. Where do you want to be? And not numerically. I wasn't asking for the church to grow to 300 or 400. Actually, as a pastor, that would be a lot. That would be a lot to do. But what I wanted to do is I wanted to say, where are we in reaching out, touching hearts, changing lives, and impacting this community? From that time, we saw the live nativity get birthed. From years going by of people just coming in and being a part of what's happening at Grace Fellowship Church, we've seen the Hope Chest get developed and turned into this incredible outreach into our community. Our youth ministry has 2 strong leaders that love Jesus, love teenagers, love ministering to them and reaching into their hearts and changing their lives. We have 2 fully ordained elders that love Jesus, love their families, love this church, and wouldn't want to be anywhere else, and they love serving here, and they have given of their time and of their lives to be a part of this church. And so really what it is you have 3 full pastors that are here desiring to see amazing things happen in your life. And you are the fruit of that, where you are in your life. Now, something that happens in the world right now is that they try to bring happiness in different ways. And this is one of the ways they try to bring happiness. They sing about it.
Clap along if you feel.
I promised my daughter I wouldn't dance. I can't help it. And they try to do, now maybe you're a child of the 80s, and this is more your speed right here.
Here's a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry. Be happy.
Now, the interesting thing about this guy is that he was searching and seeking and longing for happiness. I don't know if you know this is a sad story, is that he actually ended up taking his own life in the mid-90s. But it's this drive that the world has for happiness. And we've just come out of a season where happiness is what people were after for that moment, whether it was for the 48 hours of Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, Or maybe you've heard of the popular story about on the front lines in World War II, when the Americans and the Germans were facing each other off, there was this event that took place that was called the Christmas Day Truce. I don't know if you've heard about that. If you want to read about that, it's very, very interesting, where they actually all set their weapons down in foxholes, and they went and they met in the middle of the battlefield, and they shared trinkets together and drank from each other's canteens and shared some things, and then went back to their own foxholes. Very interesting. But people look for peace and happiness. But the Lord brings us to a place of joy in the presence of the Lord. And that's what He does. This
joy to the world. Let earth receive her King. Let heaven and nature sing joy to the world.
There it is. Joy comes from Jesus Christ. And people are going to constantly be looking for a way that they can fill that void. And that's their life's journey. Throughout life, what they're trying to do is figure out a way, how can I be more happy? And that's what happens in education. That's what happens in the financial realm. That's what happens in relationships. If I can just marry this right person or date this right person, I know I'll be happy. If I can just get everything in my life turned around in the right direction, I know that I will find happiness. And that plodding along comes and is working towards this goal of joy and happiness. And I have never seen someone more joyful and more excited when I've been able to pray with them and have them receive Jesus Christ into their life and know what it means to have true joy in their hearts. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
It is important for us to see that joy can only be found in our relationship with Jesus Christ. And so, at a moment that we're in right now, I would like to talk with you about what is going to be looking ahead for us as we come into incredible times in our culture, in our civilization, of just seeing all this amazingly bizarre and yet refreshing. And it's very confusing to be alive today. Amazing stuff in the politics and in family life and what's taking place all around us. It's incredible to see what's going on. And don't worry, we're not going to be talking about politics this morning. All right? So you can just, there. You know, I'll save that for your dinner tables. Or, you know, maybe you had one of your most enjoyable times talking about politics this year around the Christmas table, and before you started throwing Jell-O, you called your own Christmas Day truce. But what we have to be able to do is we have to be able to see that for each one of us, Bridget, hi, you brought some Alaska weather. Please take it as you go. Welcome, Bridget. Hi, I'm sorry to call you out like that. I didn't see you until just now. It's Bridget from Alaska. sorry. So just being able to look from this point forward is that sometimes what can happen is if we get this call on us, we say, wait a second, we're a people have a vision. Or better yet, the way it says it in Scripture is people without a vision. Some of you may know that. If without a vision, what happens? The people perish, right? We know that. And so it's very important to have that. But the thing is that Grace Fellowship Church has a mission and has a vision. So it's not so much about the life expectancy of the church. Really what needs to be happening is where are you in your own vision and purpose in Jesus Christ? Because what is beautiful in the church is when your vision is united with your vision and we come together as the body of Christ, united, and we have a singular purpose of seeing Jesus Christ proclaimed in our community. Amen? Amen? And that's the point of being able to have this incredible journey that we're on, is that we have to be able to see what vision is and what vision isn't. And vision isn't about the longevity of a church. Sometimes it feels like if you've ever been to a service where somebody is sharing their vision, it feels like they've laid There we are. I don't know what that's going to sound like on the website. That's going to be fun. All right. So looking forward, you get it to a place where it feels like the church is just kind of being kept alive by the vision. And that's really never been our heart at Grace Fellowship. Our desire is not to look at ways that we can go, okay, things are starting to kind of fall apart. We need to think of ways that we can keep everybody interested and keep everybody involved. You see the difference? Is that a vision isn't so much that the church is on life support and let's see what we can do. No, there's excitement and joy when people come together and are like-minded and have similar heart and similar passion. And then what we need to be able to do is carry that from these four walls into the community. And we want to be a vessel of ministry flowing into this community. Can I get an amen? That's what we're looking for. That's the desire that we have. And a lot of times it's vision is about the camp and making sure that we're all kind of believing the same or going the same way. And there's some validity to that of saying we all need to have that same heart and that same mind. But it's not about the life of the church. It's about the life of the people who make up the church. That's what makes something worth being a part of. It's not number oriented. The success of a vision doesn't mean, okay, we have X number of people. I've shared this before. People will ask me, they'll say, so how many people come to your church? And my knee-jerk reaction is all of them. All of the people come, So how many were in church today? All of you. You were all here. Very good. Thank you for coming this morning. But it's not about having a turnout. It's not about the number. It's about, do you have a desire to be a part of what God is calling you to do as a believer in Jesus Christ? And if I can do that with you, then we're both going to have a really good time. We're both going to be excited about serving the Lord. So, one of the things that we're going to be looking at together in 2018 is making sure that every single person can feel the machine of the Spirit of God moving within them and saying, I have a gift, talent, and part that I can play in the church. Because I am unique. I have a special gift. I have something that God is stirring up within me. I can give you a perfect example of that. Just look no further than our hope chest. I had no desire to have a used clothing store run out of the church. And you would say, well, that's really sad, Pastor Phil. No, that's a lot of work. That's a lot of work. And if I said, I want to have this clothing ministry run out of the church, and I want to be able to see people come in on a monthly basis, and I want to have a team rotating through it, and I went and I looked for somebody to make that thing happen, I guarantee you, 3 years removed from that conversation, the Hope Chest would not be what it is today. Instead, what happened is somebody who had a desire in their heart to be reaching out, touching hearts, and changing lives, came and said, I think I have something that the Lord can use in me to be a ministry to our community. And we talked about it and we prayed about it for a year. And then we said, okay, let's look at it this way and let's try it this time and let's do it this way. And next thing you know, we're needing teams and teams of people to make. We can't even house the number of clothing items that we have in there. We have shelves and totes. We have entire shelves that are just like 2 and 3 year olds. We have entire shelves that are 10 and 11 year olds. We have people coming to us throughout the week saying, is it, we weren't able to make it on Saturday. Can we come and get some stuff for our children or my grandchildren or the various needs that we've moved into town and we got here before our moving truck. I don't know if that's ever happened to you. That happened to me when I was a kid. We got to our house and we were there a day and a half before our furniture arrived. And I was 7. And how many of you know that a 7-year-old in Western civilization is not tolerant of no couches and no beds? And I slept on the floor in this brand new house and celebrated my birthday. I turned 7. That's why it's so memorable to me. And we didn't have anything. My parents hid stuff in drawers and in closets. It was really easy because it was a new house. I didn't know where anything was. You know, they could have told me it was in the closet, and I didn't know where any closets were. And so that was my birthday. But people get places and they're not quite ready. It's not just this, like, we're going to reach out to this particular demographic. This is, we don't ask any financial information. We just want to be able to be a ministry. And that's because Renee Turner said, I want to be a part of the vision of Grace Fellowship Church. Isn't that cool? And we have this incredible ministry that you need to sign up for and you need to be a part of. You need to say, I can give 1 month out of the whole year. I can give one. That's all it is. It's the second Saturday of every month. It's no surprise. It happens. And you could say, I'll be there on that one day, on that one Saturday. And if all of us did that, Renee wouldn't know what to do with the volunteers. One Saturday out of 12 months. How many of you could find one spare Saturday in 2018 to give to the Hope Chest, right? One. We're talking, and it's 3 hours. It's not even, so you can be involved that way. But there's some things that we want to be able to do coming into 2018 to explain to some of our newer family members how to get involved at Grace Fellowship Church. And I want to take a few minutes with you this morning to talk about that, if I could. If you're in the book of Philippians, I'm in chapter 3. We just did an entire series on Philippians in our small groups. And this is the theme, chapter of that particular home group that we did. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. I'm reading from the English Standard Version this morning. It says, whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Verse 8, indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. In case you're wondering who this is Paul, and he's writing this letter to the church in Philippi, and he's explaining to them the cost of walking with the Lord. And he says, I have gained so much. If you don't know the story of Paul, he was a very successful, I would even think in our modern day, he would be like a circuit teacher within the Hebrew religion. And he was a very well-known Pharisee that would go around and teach and was found in all of the popular schools and locations all around Jerusalem, and he would travel the area. And eventually what happened is he began to find out that there was a segment of people that were Jewish that were telling people that the Messiah had come, and he wasn't buying into that. He didn't like that at all. And he began to serve the Lord by persecuting the church. And that's exactly how he defines it to us in the book of Ephesians. I was serving the Lord and I was doing what I thought God wanted me to do. And what we can do is we can say there's all kinds of things that can be going on in our lives. And we can say, I'm doing this thing. I am serving the Lord this way. But one of our passions that we have, and I think that many of you, whether you're a guest or you're new to Grace Fellowship Church, I think that this is one of the things that draws people to a relationship with the Lord, is a desire to know more about what He wants in our lives. That's the draw that we have. And I understand that at one point Paul thought he was serving the Lord, but get this, when he encountered God, when he encountered Jesus, he realized that really what he was doing is he was putting off and he was shoving away and he was persecuting that thing that God had actually blessed. But it was through the revelation of Jesus Christ that he said, wait a second, I've been going about this all wrong. And there's a beautiful story there for you, but this is the language that he's using now as he's writing this letter to the church in Philippi. What he's saying is everything that I have gained, I consider it garbage. Garbage. In other words, we never ask anyone to do anything so that you can be more recognizable in the kingdom of God. That's not the purpose. Sometimes we get involved. I'm going to lump us all into this category because I know that there are different times in my own life, in my past, where I have done this, where I thought, well, if I do that, right? You think you're doing something like for your earthly dad, and you're like, well, if I do that, maybe he'll give me a little more allowance. Or maybe dad will give me that extra pat on the back or that affirmation that I'm looking for. Or maybe, hey, we're leading up to Christmas, right? It's after Thanksgiving, so I've got 30 days to get my act together so I can get exactly what I want. And we treat our relationship with people the same way that we treat our relationship with God the same way that we treat our relationship with people. And we think that all I have to do is get God's attention. You already have God's attention right now. Right now, God, here, you ready for the big revelation? God cannot possibly love you any more than he does right now. Amen. So you can stop the rat race. You're not going to get him to love you any more than he does right now. I can just see the burden lifting all over this room. Oh, thank you. Oh, good. You're not going to, there's nothing you can, if there was something you could do to make him love you more, then he would not be the God that he talks about in the Bible. He loves you exponentially beyond what you could ever imagine, period. And no matter what you do, he's not going to, this is kind of scary for some Christians when this gets said out loud, but there's nothing that you can do that would make him love you less. And there's also nothing that you can do to make him love you more. You are his child, and he loves you. Therefore, Paul comes to this conclusion. He says, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Everything else is loss. Because it's all a part of acknowledgement and being set up to say, hey, this is how I can do this. And he goes on in verse 9, and he says, and to be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, because what was the law? The law was gradated. It was, if you do this, if you do that, if you do that, you began to move through the hierarchy of what was known as the religion that day. But he says, not that it comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. So as you scope out 2018, and you're, and I know we're all that, maybe you're a New Year's resolution person. I'm personally not. If I make a New Year's resolution, I am guaranteed that it's not going to make it to the 7th of January. If I say, this is my New Year's resolution, you can just write it down as Phil is not going to do that. It's just not going to happen. So I don't make New Year's resolutions anymore. I came to a point in my life where I really wanted to be around for my daughter's graduation and my kids getting married and being a grandfather, and I was making some really terrible health choices. I was going to throw some pictures up, and my wife said, please don't throw any pictures up of what you used to look like. I loved you then and I love you now, but they would all think less of you if you put those pictures up. So the pictures didn't make the final cut of the message today. But I was clocking in at just over 300 pounds. And I was finding out that what I was doing is I was getting tired. One time in the middle of a message, it was completely unrelated, but this is how God works. I'd actually had my foot operated on. I had an ingrown toenail, and it wouldn't go. So finally, the guy's like, "We got to cut it off." I was like, "My toe?" He's like, "No, your nail." I was like, "Okay." I thought there was a pill or something. I didn't know we had to amputate. But so I was having a little bit of trouble while I was walking around and preaching, and so I said, is it all right if I sit down for a minute? And I sat down, and I said some more stuff, and maybe some of you might remember that. There was somebody visiting that day that had no knowledge at all of what I had had on my foot. They came up to me after the service, and they said, the Lord says, you're fat. No, he didn't say
He didn't say that. He didn't say that. That's what I heard, but he didn't say that. He didn't say that. But he said, you know, he said, I just really feel like the Lord is prompting me to come up to you. I mean, he was a guest in our church. And he was like, Lord, just so the nerve, right? No, the strength, tenacity that it took to come up and tell a pastor, the Lord says you need to cut back on the ho-hos, you know? And I was like, and I wanted to defend, you know, I wanted to defend myself. Oh, it's not this, it's this. You know? Oh, this is totally fine. You know? It's this thing. But I didn't. I sat there and I said, wow, that's interesting. Right in the middle of the year. So I went home and I told Alexa about that encounter. And she was like, it's about time. Somebody broke the silence, you know? And so I began to do something. I just simply changed my lifestyle. But what was going on was I wasn't doing something that was going to necessarily bring me happiness. And I took this challenge that I kind of laid out for myself. I said, Alexa, what I want to do is I want to lose X number of pounds. And when I get there, I'm buying a motorcycle. And she said, okay. She said, okay. Because I think she thought it was never going to happen. No. But I bought my motorcycle. My motorcycle almost killed me. Not the ho-hos. Just kind of... I actually would have been better off if I stuck with Dunkin' Donuts than my Yamaha, but anyhow. But the point is that I decided to make a change, and it needed to come at what is the cost if I don't. And that's when real change happens. Now, I'm not like the, you know, those of you who are seeing me right now, you're like, I would have pegged you at 300 right now. I don't know what you're talking about. You know? But I have lost a couple pounds and I'm doing okay. But the idea is that it's when we realize what we were going to lose, that's what prompts us to have real change happen in our lives. And I saw on the news a number of times right around the time that I made that decision, not people dying from tragic accidents, people 38, 39, 42, dying of heart attacks, dying from various things. And I said, man, that could be me. That could be me. And I want to change that. And I began to weigh the cost of what would happen if I didn't make those changes. When I look at what Paul is saying here, he's saying in verse 10 that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. In other words, I did not know what it meant to have the power of Jesus in my life. All I knew was how to serve the church and how to follow after this list of regulations and rules. And I did not know what it meant to have the power and that I may share in his suffering. That's the part that we don't like, and becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible. I had a pastor friend of mine that used to say this way. He said, I want to see people come to Christ doing anything short of sin. He would do anything it would take, aside from lying, cheating, stealing, sin, to make sure that somebody could come to the working knowledge of Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul is saying here, that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Have you counted the cost of where you are in your relationship with Jesus Christ? Have you been able to say, what I want to do is not necessarily look at what I cannot do, but what is it in my life that I am not gaining because of my lack of relationship with him? Where am I? What am I missing out on? Because I see people that love Jesus that have such a joy in their heart no matter what's going on. People within our own congregation that have overcome sickness, that have overcome relationship issues, that have overcome things happening in their family, and they come and they say, it is the joy of the Lord that is my strength.
And it's not because of this pursuit of happiness that the world gives us. It is the working knowledge that joy only comes through the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Isn't that incredible? So a couple of questions I have for you as we close this time out. Is there something worth getting involved in? That's like the biggest question that we would have, is that if we're saying the big desire is to see some people get plugged in and involved, is there something worth getting involved in? And over the next 2 weeks while I'm in Tanzania, there's two men that are going to be sharing here at the church. The first one next week is my good friend Dan Larkin. He's going to be sharing next week. And then the week after him is somebody who many of you have known for years. Bud Lawson is going to be sharing with us. And both of these men have worked tirelessly within the ministry of spreading the gospel. Bud, I'm not going to give his testimony for him, but he and his wife gave their hearts to the Lord within a certain amount of time together. He'll fill in the blanks and the details. But they took that and they went right into YWAM, Youth with a Mission. Uprooted their lives, said, we're going to serve God. We're going to serve Christ. We're going to see people's lives change. We're going to get involved in any way that we can. Dan and Nancy have started Bible schools in countries, and they've lived in foreign countries. They had 8 girls, and they were moving them all over the place and having them be involved in various things that they were doing. And all along, they were saying, we want to see lives change, and we are going to make the sacrifices that are necessary. And I said, I want you guys to share with us your experience of what it meant to be walking with God during those times in your life. Can I get an amen? The Bible tells us in the Old Testament that we are to hear the voices of the generation before, not so that the generation after would know what to do. It's actually supposed to be our starting point. I would think that our desire wouldn't necessarily be, okay, well, I'm going to move to this country and I'm going to start a Bible school. Well, Dan's done that. Nancy, they've done that. How about this? What I'm doing is I'm going and I'm teaching at the Bible school they started. And I'm bringing a new person with me every single time I go. And Dan says, that's what I want to see happen. I want to see teachers come into that school. I want to see them have an opportunity to receive from the teaching. Because guess what? I don't know how to start a Bible school. I'm not saying that he knew. The Lord gave him the gift and the grace and the ability to do it. He would probably say, I didn't know what I was doing. And that's fine. That's what all missionaries say. They don't know what they're doing. But it's amazing how God uses them anyway. Can I get an amen? Good. So I don't know how to teach in a Bible school setting, but the Lord is giving me the grace to do it, and I enjoy doing it, and I enjoy introducing new people to it. And Dan said, that's what I see happening at this school. Guess what I am? I'm a part of that next generation, and I don't have to live there. And I'm okay with that. Not there's anything, I mean, if I was going to live anywhere, Moshi, Tanzania would be it. Moshi is a really nice place. But I get to go and be a part of the foundation that Dan and Nancy laid. What foundation do you get to be a part of? What foundation do you get to build on? And over the next 2 weeks, they're going to be sharing with you, is there something worth getting involved in? And I would say to you, at Grace Fellowship Church, one of the things that we truly enjoy doing is laying a foundation so that people can say, I can definitely work with that. I can build on that. There's something in me that is causing me to rise up and step up to that opportunity. I want to build on that foundation. Is there something worth getting involved in? Something else that happens is like, okay, what kind of commitment do I have to make? What are you asking of me? And I would say, if this is your question, then it's not time for you. Can I say that again? If this is your question, then it's not time for you. You need to just sit and relax and enjoy and be a part of and grow. And there's that season. And that's actually something that we encourage our people to do. We're not at a place where we're saying, okay, XYZ family just came in, and we got to figure out how we can make sure we can keep them here. What are their joys? What are their excitements? What do they like to do? Let's try to create a program that really gets them involved and gets something they would. That's not what we do. We want you to be a part of what God is doing at Grace Fellowship Church only if you want to. Are you okay with that? As I am, because if you want to, then guess what? I want to also. The last thing I want to do is to be convincing you to do what God has called you to do. I'm not very good at it because I go, anyway, I won't tell you what I do because sometimes it can be a little offensive. And so I just say, when you are ready, we are ready. But here's what we ask you to do is get to know the people around you. And if you've had any exposure at all to Grace Fellowship Church, we have opportunities for you to do that. Did you lose me again? Oh, okay. I'm just coming in and out of something. There's like a dead spot right here. No, I'm just kidding. Where was I? Oh, yes. So if you want to get involved, we want you to be a part of what's going on at the church. But not at the detriment of you saying, I'm going to take on so much that I can't even keep up with my own family, my job, blah, 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 blah. We don't want that. And in the years past, we've seen that pattern happen. So what we do is we say, come in and just allow us to minister to you, for you to receive and for you to be a part of. Because there is a difference between wanting to versus knowing how to. And we have a process that we have. And we actually say, if you're brand new to Grace Fellowship Church, we take all the pressure off of you of trying to figure out what you can run and what you can do. And we say, just come for 3 or 4 months and don't do anything. Don't do anything. If you want to go to a home group, we really encourage you to do that. If you want to come early to our cafe time, our cafe is not all about the donuts and the coffee. It's about the fellowship that's happening. You don't have to eat a donut and drink a cup of coffee if you come to our cafe, okay? You don't have to. But we would ask that you would come, and that's an opportunity to fellowship. You want to stick around after the service? It's still there. You can hang out. You can have another cup of coffee. You want to meet with somebody after church? Hey, we're going to whatever downtown. You guys want to come with us? And we can hang out together. And we want you to take some time to get to know each other and to get involved that way. Because if you know the process, then you're able to figure out how I can get involved. And the best thing that I can see is that when people know who you are, it makes total sense what you begin to do within the church. Does that make sense? They recognize the gifts too because they've had a chance to get to know you. We're not looking to fire off as many leaders as humanly possible, you know, like somebody doing card tricks and just throwing these cards across the way or whatever. What we're doing is we're saying, we want you to feel a part of what's going on at the church. And if you feel a part of it, then you're going to be really excited about getting involved. And it gives you a chance to figure it out because I also know, I grew up in a family that when they picked a church, it was just like, that was it. I mean, it didn't matter what was going on. My dad was like, nope, God told us we're coming here. I don't care what just happened between the pastor and the secretary. This is where we are. And man, we stayed through some churches that were just, woohoo. But that was it for us. That was the choice that my dad made. And we all were like, okay, you know, you're the guy. And he would pray about churches. He and my mom would go to different ones. And when we would move to a new area, we moved a number of times when I was a kid. So we were on the search for churches. But when we plugged in, that's where we were. And I know that God has a desire for you to be able to say there's a process of getting plugged in. It's not you have to, you know, start from the ground zero all the time and okay, I'm nowhere. But here's what Paul was saying in Corinthians. I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree. What? That all of you agree and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. Paul was obviously talking to a different demographic, a different generation, a different time frame, because there's no way he would expect us. But that is the definition of unity. Does that mean that we agree theologically on everything? Probably not. Probably not. But the core values are there. I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, dead, buried, resurrected on the third day. I believe that he is the embodiment, deity. He is God in the flesh, and he is our Savior. And God brought Jesus to us so that we could be in relationship with him. That's a core value that I have. And if you don't believe that, this probably isn't the best church for you. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. But if you don't like to dance during worship, I'm not going to stop the worship service and go, "Scott, get a skipping." Can I get an amen, right? Everybody's like, "Oh, good." I was wondering if he was ever going to do that to me. And I say that because I was in a church service where that exact thing happened. Everybody was dancing. I mean, everybody. And there was one guy who wasn't. The worship leader stopped the service, pointed him out. I'll tell you what, everybody who was dancing wanted to leave too. Those are not good times. But that's not the kind of thing we're talking about. You don't have to worship a particular way, but there are some beliefs that need to be rooted within us that take time to figure out and know where we are. And that's why we have the time frame that we do. We want you to have a chance to know us. We want to get a chance to know you, so that when all of a sudden Pastor Phil gets up here and goes, "Shubba lubba lubba," starts speaking out in tongues and prophesying in Jesus' name, Holy Ghost, move. You don't go, "What kind of church do we go to? How long have we been coming here and that happened? When? What? How? Why? What just took place? Wait a second." Because that's who we are too. But you don't have to speak in tongues to go to church here. You don't have to have the gift of prophecy to attend here. You just have to believe one thing. Jesus Christ is the Messiah, dead, buried, resurrected, and he gave you the Spirit so that you could move greatly in this generation.
Amen.
You believe that? Welcome home. Welcome home. All the other stuff, learn as you go. Figure it out as you go. Enjoy life. Don't get all knotted up about it. That's all good. It's all good. There's growth and there's strength in that. But Paul says that we must be united in the same mind and in the same judgment. The treasure of being connected, it brings power and ability within us to be able to say, "I am connected at just this time and in just this place." And he goes on in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit." Watch the progression. "And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone." I want you to see in this one section the verification of the triune God that we serve was laid out for us. Why? Because it says same Spirit, same Lord, same God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Come on, church. Now that's preaching right there. That's good stuff. Yeah. I'll give myself a hand clap. Way to go, Phil. No, that's okay. So what we have here is we have this thing that you hear us say here a lot: reaching out, touching hearts, changing lives. I'm going to try to tie this up real quickly here for you. This first part is very general. Reaching out. If you're brand new to Grace Fellowship Church, this is something you can be a part of our greeting team. You can be a part of our cafe team. You can be a part of our sound booth ministry. You can be a host home for our home groups. Those are great ways to get to know people. And we had some newer families that took advantage of that in the fall. And they were able to get some relationships and some friendships out of that because they're opening up their home, they're bringing in people, and we provide the leader for you. So if you're a host home, you're not just intrinsically the leader of that group. We want, that's another level of involvement. And so we want you to be able to open up your home and say, hey, for the next, and it's set too. This is not like, oh wait, how long am I having these people over? Oh, from now until who knows when. It just is the home group that never ends, right? No, we do them for 10 weeks. And you get a chance to have some people come into your home, fellowship with you, get some good, solid teaching. Reaching out is a very broad part of what we do. Touching hearts is something that's a little bit more specific. And it involves some of our more personal things of like being a teacher in our Sunday school program. That takes a little bit extra commitment. That takes us wanting to get to know you a little bit better. There's some things that you have to do because of the culture that we live in as far as clearances and all that kind of stuff. We abide by all those things. We have our Trail Life and American Heritage Girls things. Those are things that we want you to be involved in, but there's a certain level of commitment that comes with being a part of that. That also is like being a part of our worship team. We are looking this year to add to the worship team that's here. We have seen the talent and the abilities that people have, and we want the heart of worship to come and continue to flow in this place. I was hired here as the worship leader, so it's actually kind of hard for me to say that. I've been leading worship here for 21 years. It might be time for me to kind of go like this and let somebody else do it. And I'm totally... I'm good with it. Changing lives. This is where you really get to see what God is doing in your life. If I could ask you to be anywhere in your relationship with him, that's the key. Because as you get involved, you're going to see God do incredible things in your life. In your life. You are going to be able to come to a place of saying, you know what? I am reaching out, touching hearts, and changing lives. And this is how I'm doing it. I have to tell you that, and she's not here this morning, but our Christmas Eve service would not have been what it was if Megan Toth wasn't back there clicking through the slides for us. Those slides added a dimension, and the videos that were played added a dimension. She wasn't up here singing and performing, but she was making sure that those things were happening at the right time, and scripture verses were going on, and that the sound was right, and the lighting was right, and all of that added to the experience of our Christmas Eve service. And if she threw something up that wasn't right, or a sound came out of there that wasn't, nobody recognizes the sound team until something goes wrong. And then we do this number right here. We're like, right? That's when we recognize the sound team. But it is through the gift. We have amazing greeters at Grace Fellowship Church. I can't tell you how many times a first-time guest has come up to me and said, from the minute I walked in your church, I was greeted with a smile and a handshake, and they just followed me around, making sure I had everything I needed. We have an amazing greeting team. If you can smile and you're happy, you can be on our greeting team. You can be a part of just welcome. There's something that you're attached to at Grace Fellowship Church. And one of the most amazing ways to share that is to be a greeter. People come in, man, welcome to Grace Fellowship Church. This is great. It's one outside. You scraped off your car, dusted off that snow, and you came. We're excited that you're here. We're blessed that you're here. You want to touch some lives? I'll tell you what, our children's program, our Hope Chest, those are ways right now You can just say, I want to be a part of the Hope Chest. I want to be a part of the children's program. And the way that you can be a part of the children's program without deeper involvement is just being a helper. We have, our classes are growing. We have anywhere from 45 to 55 students a week that are a part of our children's program. They need some help. So you don't want to be a teacher? That's fine. That teacher could use a helper. I wonder if you don't want to be a teacher, if you could pass out crayons, right? You could, you know, pass out the paper. God is looking for us to be able to be a part of something. Finally, we're looking for host homes for this round of small groups. And we need actually more than we had last time. We've been blessed with an amazing involvement in our small groups. And our small groups, we actually could have started a small church from our small groups this last season. And that's wonderful. We're excited about that. But we had 5 locations, and we really need to have 7 or 8 locations. If you would like to be a host, that's what we're asking for. We will make sure that we can provide a leader for you. But if you would like to be a host, and your living room holds 5 people, that's all we need. We're gonna try our best. There's a couple of home groups that are like, we have 13 and we really like it. We're gonna try to have conversation there and see what we can do. Some of our small groups aren't so small. But this year, what we're gonna be doing in this 10 weeks is we're gonna be going through a book together called Reset by Bob Sorge. Bob Sorge came to our church a couple of years back and has an anointing for prayer. And this particular book is called Reset. And it's how to reset your spiritual life through prayer in 20 days. Now, we're going to do this over 10 weeks, and so we'll have a little bit more time. It's really short. Look at this right here. What my elders hear me often say is, I hand them a book like this. I said, I sat down and I read this in 1 hour. It's a really quick and easy read, but we're going to do this over 10 weeks. So if we hand out a book and you're like, I didn't do my reading, you can catch up on your way to your small group. It's going to not be a problem. But we want to make sure that we have an opportunity to reach out, touch hearts, and change lives in your own life. And we would really ask you to be a part. Our small groups are going to start January 31st. And I'm saying that in faith because we have 2 host homes right now and we need 7 or 8. We know that the response that we have is going to be magnificent. We're really looking forward to sharing that. And over the next number of weeks, we're going to be asking you about that over and over again. But looking into 2018, we're not laying out this huge project like we have over the last couple of years. There's going to be some minor modifications that are going to happen because that's just how we do things. We don't sit still for too long. There's some things that Brent and I and some of the leadership here, we've been dreaming about, simple things that we're going to do, get rid of that whole section of that building, and you won't even notice. It'll be fine. But we want to have you have an opportunity to get plugged in and to be involved with what's happening here. Could you stand with me this morning? Father, we come before you. And as we leave 2017 behind, maybe some of us have memories or ideas or thoughts, or maybe there's some hurts, or maybe there's some accomplishments that we're really hoping carry over into 2018. Maybe there's some new things that are happening in family and in business and various things that are taking place. But Father, what we pray most of all is that our relationship with you would be stronger this time next year than it is right now. That, Father, we would grow in you. We would be connected to you. That we would see other believers growing in you. That we would see those around us reaching out, touching hearts, and changing lives. We desire to see Jesus Christ preached in this community. The Word of God to go forth. And, Father, however we can be a part of that, that's what we want. The part that we play, Father, whether it would be the greeter, whether it would be the home group leader, whether it would be in a classroom, whether it be helping out in the Hope Chest and praying with families that are seeking and searching for answers to their lives. Father, help us to see that you can use us and our gifts. Release them in us. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.